irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and I have with me my middle brother, Terrell.
Incredible middle brother.
Incredible today, huh? No. And we have Taj Jackson, the eldest.
Yes, and wisest. Hello, T. Hello, Terrell.
The wisest?
Yeah.
And then we have a special guest today. You got three specials.
I know. I got three specials.
We have... Terrell, you can introduce Mara.
I'm going to introduce
Mara. Yeah, okay. First of all, I'll do the professional introduction.
Yeah.
Mara is a licensed...
clinical social worker.
Thank you. I saw the LCSW and thinking...
This is how we're going to start.
I saw the LCSW and she's told me so many times, licensed clinical social worker.
That's correct.
AKA therapist?
Yes.
Okay. So that is Mara, and... you know how we always make our disclaimer, how we are not licensed therapists, which we aren't, my brothers and I. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, and we've been impacted by it, and we like to share our experiences to help you. But today, we actually have a licensed therapist, Ms. Mara Tapia. And I will do this again later, but Mara is practicing out of here in San Fernando Valley in Tarzana. Her phone number is 310. Don't call her now, and only call her if you need help. Her number, no crank calling. Her number is 310-804-6220. Again, it's 310-804-6220. Terrell, go ahead. You do a little introduction now.
Well, Mara and I go way back. When did you, I graduated first with you, Mara, from high school.
That's correct.
When did you come to Buckley? Do you remember what year it was? Or?
I came in seventh grade.
Seventh grade. I went to Buckley my whole life, so. but seventh grade, junior high.
Yes.
And we graduated together. And do I go?
Yeah, keep going.
More?
You're going.
And my best friend, since, you know, obviously we know Louis. I think I met Louis at like 7 or 8 years
old.
7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been best friends ever since. And Mara, who's your husband?
I married Terrell's best friend.
Wow.
Ugh. Not just kidding.
What's wow. Up?
We love
I feel the same way
we
sometimes.
Love so in a way, like, you are our sister. Like, you are a sister.
Yes, I definitely feel like you guys are family.
Louis is like our brother.
Of course.
We love dog. Louis. But Mara, we have so much... that we experienced in like school and just inside and outside of school and in life and things. And there's a lot in common. And we're happy to have you and we thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, it's good. I think it's good. And, you know, I wanted you to mention that because it's Mara Tapia. And
yes.
Obviously, Louis is like a fourth brother to
he
us.
He is a fourth brother.
So I wanted the listeners to know that Mara is like family. But anyway, we're here live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. And later in the show, we will be taking phone calls again. You guys okay with
phone
that?
Phone calls.
Yeah. We'll take phone calls. So if you didn't reach us last week, we had a lot of calls. Then try back this time and maybe one of us, probably Mara, can help you. and don't... Okay, first of all, the phone number is 323-203-0815. And please keep your phone call on topic. I don't want to, you know, you to call and say how, you know, so TJ, I've had your post. Well, actually, I don't mind hearing that, but don't call saying, Taj, I had your poster on your wall. You know, that's just a waste of time for me. No, but really, keep it on.
Poster?
Let's keep it on topic so we can keep it moving and help as many people as possible.
Also, if you have questions on social media, you can, we're at Twitter. Todd, you want to do the Twitter? I don't want to.
Sure. Twitter is at DDJ Foundation.
Go, might as well do all this.
Do all the socials. Facebook is DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
And if you're just discovering us, as I clear my throat, if you're just discovering us and you want to learn more about the foundation, please visit our website. And please, I told Mara before we started that my brain is just not working today. But please get involved. If you can't donate, that's fine. But, you know, just your voice, sharing the message, sharing what we're doing here means a lot to us and will help someone out there.
We have three sponsors for today's show.
Please, please.
First of all, we'd like to thank Pepsi for sponsoring us today.
Nice.
LA Splash Cosmetics for sponsoring us today. And Mama's Boy for sponsoring us today. So three sponsors.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
So, Mayor, I know a bit about your past. Not too much. Well, I know some. But the one thing that I always told people that really rocked my world, even prior to my mother's passing as a teen, was when my parents got divorced. It hit me so hard that I didn't even care to get married. I used to tell my best friends and friends at school, I'll never get married. And it was actually, I'm happy you're here, because I've told you this before, I think, and at least I've told your husband. It's actually your wedding that changed, at least started to change my mentality on weddings and marriage. So thank you again.
Thank
I've
you.
Told you that before, right?
You said that at your wedding.
Well, there you go. I've told the world that before. It's true, though. I remember Royal was just a baby, and he was the ring bearer. And
oh, he was so cute.
Oh, look at his dad. No. Okay, so I
just brain is not working.
Right. Yeah. No, but really, I had such a negative, and I think it was obviously because of what my parent, the divorce. I couldn't stand hearing my parents argue, and a lot of my family, uncles and aunts, got divorced, and it was just such a sad moment, such a sad part of someone's life, especially for kids.
Yeah.
So much that when Francis and I first had Royal, you know, we didn't even think about marriage, and I was against marriage at that point. I know you have your practice. Well, first of all, what's your opinion? Do you have anything to share regarding that?
Well, I mean, I think any loss, you go through the same stages, whether it's a death, whether it's divorce. I think the feelings and the emotions that you experience are very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a practice. Mm-hmm. Where you see kids, you see parents,
I see
everything.
Teenagers, I see adults, couples.
What's your biggest advice to, first of all, kids that are dealing with divorce? What would you tell them?
I think that they just have to take it one day at a time. I know that sounds very cliche, but you know, adolescents especially, it's the end of the world one day, and then the next day everything's wonderful. So to try to remember that, you know, don't get too ahead of yourself, and that they don't have to choose sides. Mm. That their parents love them, and this isn't about them. And to stay neutral, because it's really hard. They get brought in, they get used.
Mm. Mm. Do kids often think they're part of the reason? Of the divorce, or, you know.
I think that kids will blame themselves a lot of the time. And the other thing that kids will do is if parents fight a lot, kids will start acting out in order to distract from the fighting of the parents.
Mm. So you see bad behavior kind of
absolutely
enhance. And what about for parents? What do you tell parents who are going through a divorce or going through a separation? First of all, what do you advise them?
It's so important that they don't do it in front of the kids, that they don't fight in front of the kids, that they don't talk bad about the other parent in front of the kids.
Mm.
It makes it really difficult for the kids, very confusing. You know, they feel guilty, they feel torn, they feel angry.
Yeah.
So to keep the adult issues away from them.
Now, what's your opinion on parents who kind of, I don't want to say suck it up, but stay together for their family?
I don't think that that is the best choice. I think that a lot of parents think that we can just stay together till they go to college and then we'll split. I hear that a lot. However, the kids pick up on the toxic environment, and you're also modeling for them. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And you're also modeling for them.
You're modeling for them what a marriage is going to be. So whatever you're showing them at home, that's what they are going to grow up thinking, well, this is what marriage is.
What about... You guys have any questions?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I know every situation is different with relationships and marriages and things, and with divorce. What would you say is the one common, mostly the common thing you see with children when dealing with divorce?
As far as, like how it impacts them?
Yeah, well, everyone has a different situation, so how it impacts them.
Believe it or not, some kids are actually relieved. When there's a lot of conflict in the household, some of the kids will tell me, thank God, like, I'm glad they finally did this.
Right.
You know, it's scary. It's a change. They don't know what's going to happen. Who am I going to live with? What's it going to be like? What if they get a new partner? You know, all of those things. So... you know, as much information as you can give them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's life-changing.
What if it's, like, one-sided? What if one parent is kind of bad-mouthing to the kids, but the other isn't? Like, what would you recommend in that case?
I mean, you can't control somebody else's behavior, but the parent that's bad-mouthing has to know they're doing damage. Whether they think so or not, they are damaging their child.
And does the kid pick up on that one parent is bad-mouthing and the other isn't?
Like, of course. Yeah. Of course.
So I'm looking at statistics online. It says 50% of all North American children will witness the divorce of their parents. Almost half of them will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. So that's a lot of loss. And like I said, for me personally, that was devastating. I think you make a good point, because it was really hard for me when I'd hear my parents argue at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your two favorite people, you know,
right,
going at it. So again, we're taking phone calls. 323, we'll open it up now. 323 is the phone number. 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. Mayor's laughing at me. I told you my brain isn't going to be working today.
Oh my goodness.
We might need a relief pitcher soon. Cheryl, warm up that arm.
Okay, so we're one day shy of Thanksgiving. Actually, my family, we honor our grandmother, and we don't do a Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. As on Thanksgiving, we do it the day before usually, and today's no different. We have a family Thanksgiving dinner this evening at my grandmother's. What was your question about the holidays? Was it you, Taj, who was talking about holidays?
Oh, I think, was it about the loss and things? That was me, Terrell.
Let's hear it, Terrell.
It was just about, because I remember when Mom passed away, and it's for anybody that loses somebody, and that doesn't have to be a parent. It's going through the holiday the first time, you know, our first Mother's Day or your first Father's Day or first Christmas or first Thanksgiving, whatever it is. It's difficult because obviously it's your first time without them. And then as well, you're seeing all the other families, you know, you're seeing Mother's Day decorations or whatever it may be. I just wanted to maybe talk about how you deal with that, what you can expect or how you feel. You know, especially with the holidays coming up.
You know, I lost my dad pretty young, too. I was 15 years old. And absolutely, the first year of holidays or birthdays, anniversaries, super, super difficult. Mm-hmm. It does get easier. You know, we still have bad days, but I think the good days far outweigh the bad days. And I think, you know, some people try not to talk about it because they feel like, well, if I bring it up, then everyone's going to get upset. But I think it's nice to remember the person, to look at pictures, to talk about them. I think that can ease some of those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone handles it differently. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was difficult, obviously. And I don't think I had a lot of pictures of my mother around, just because I didn't. I don't know why. Just didn't have a lot of pictures of my mom around in the house. And I have a few now, especially one next to my bed. But I think it's also it's sad because there's situations where you see on Mother's Day, you can see mothers and daughters or mothers and sons, they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothered me because I didn't have my mother.
Right, of course.
You know? So it's like you wish you could have that moment, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you wish people would really take advantage and realize how important and how lucky they are to still have their family. And, you know, I understand Christmas is about gifts and this and that, but when the family's together, they really need to focus on family.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
That's the greatest gift.
Okay, so we have a phone call coming in. We're going to put it through. Hello, you are on the line with Taj, Terrell, TJ, and Mara Tapia. Who is this?
Hello?
Who are we talking to?
Oh, my God. My name's Ebony.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Hello.
How are you doing? You okay?
I'm doing fine. Oh, my goodness. I did not think I'd get through.
You are here. You are speaking to us. Do you have a question or anything you want to talk about with Ms. Tapia?
Well, yeah, what you were just talking about earlier, how spending holidays about your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I talk about that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, I lost my father to cancer January 2015, and...
Sorry about that.
Usually around this time, I get emotional because the last holiday I got to spend with him was Christmas. And back in 2014,
mm-hmm.
we took a family trip to Florida. And, you know, just, it's really hard to...
I'm here for you.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And who said you... Yeah. Who was that in the background?
Oh, that's my best friend, Tiffany. You actually spoke to her on the show last week.
Yeah, Tiffany, sweet.
Yeah.
Hi, Tiffany. Mary, do you want to answer that?
No, I mean, it is. It's very difficult, and I think you just have to experience it and know that it is going to get easier with time, but that this may always be a difficult time of year for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just brings back a lot of memories and triggers a lot of things. But it does, yeah, like you said, I think it gets easier. You learn how to deal with it and cope with it. But you'll always remember your father and think of him and love him. So obviously those feelings will be there every year.
Mm-hmm.
What I try and do usually is, if I do feel that way, I just try and honor and celebrate them during that time period, trying to counter it. And that usually works for me. Like when I start feeling down, you know, around Mother's Day or whatever, yeah. I'll you know, put out a tweet or Facebook something, you know, with just a good memory or something. And that, you know, feeling that love from other people, that really helps too.
Yeah. Or yeah, if there's a special.
That's what we do. He always said with me and my brother to always keep contact with your family because they're all you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's. Yeah, so now I'm more recently, like more than ever, I'm actually going to spend Thanksgiving with my grandmother tomorrow, me and
that's
my mom.
Great. Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do to honor your father is to make sure mm-hmm. that you prioritize your family.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ebony, for your phone call. And hi, Tiffany.
Look, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right,
you guys
have
guys
a good, safe holidays.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
You
Happy
too.
Thanksgiving.
Bye. So, and this is another question I had. In my situation, Frances lost her father on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first year we met, and so I when I lost my mother, it was a random day in August.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's on an actual holiday,
it's so hard.
It's like 10 times harder because it just. It taints that holiday and that moment. It kind of robs you of the, you know, mm-hmm. that. And Christmas Day is one of the happiest days, if not the happiest days. So what would you advise me in terms of supporting her through that? I never met her father because, like I said, it was the first within a couple months when we met. But what would you advise me to do to support my loved one as Tiffany was doing with Ebony?
I mean, I think talk to her about it. Ask her what she needs from you. You know, I think sometimes we're afraid to ask people what it is they need. But we're not psychic. You can't read someone's mind. And I think just stopping and acknowledging, you know, I know this day is really difficult for you. How can I best support you right now? I think that goes far.
Why is it so hard to do that? I have a hard time opening up that can. And that's one of the reasons why we do the show, is to try to make it more comfortable talking about loss. But it's really hard to start that conversation. I don't want to, like, start a, you know, her on a downward trend or
see, or that's ruin what her day. Everybody's afraid of. If I open up that can, this person's going to get upset and then they're going to be sad the rest of the day. But I can assure you that would mean so much to her to, one, validate that, yes, this is a really difficult day. And then, two, how can I best support you? What do you need me to do as your husband?
Is that a female thing?
Oh, my Lord. Really? Really?
I don't know if I'd want someone to ask me that. What does that mean?
You're a different story. I mean, you three come from a different family where you were always guarded. So you have never been good, any of you. Well, Taj, I can't speak for you as much, but I can definitely speak for Terrell and TJ. Neither of you are good at expressing yourselves. You both really struggle with it.
So what do I got? So I should come see you then. Right?
I'll refer you out. I think it's a conflict of interest.
No, but I'm happy you're here, Mara, because you're someone that always gives it to us. By the way, a couple hours ago...
Oh, Lord, where's he going with this?
I Googled you.
Oh, God.
Because I was looking for a picture, and you wouldn't give me a picture. And it, just so you know, you passed the test. I couldn't find a picture of you. But I Googled you, and you came up on Rate My Professor.
Oh, Lord. There's some... Oh, goodness gracious.
Do you know what your rating is?
It's bad. I think it's like 50%.
No, it's actually good.
It is?
I wouldn't bring it up if it was bad.
What is it?
Yeah, it was like... You got like a 4-point something... Like a mid-4... A 4.4 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah, which is very good for Rate My Professor. Shocked,
Mira. Because when I looked years ago, and then my principal was like, don't look at those things. I mean, really, like... 50% is good.
No, it is. And I used to look at it, you know, because I did a lot of classes online. And so I would choose a lot of my classes based on the professor. And you had a great rating. So I just want to share that. Some people said you were the best faculty member at Buckley. And,
wow.
And the only ones who are giving you bad reviews are the ones who really did something really bad and got in trouble because of it. So that's
thank you.
I thought that would be cool for you to know.
It is good to know.
You're
some
like.
Of the kids, you know, don't love having to take a mandatory class. So
yeah, that's cool. What other classes? Oh, I don't know how detailed we can get, but you guys just started at your school. Mm-hmm. Can I say the school?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
you've already said it like 3 times.
Okay. Well, everyone knows we went to Buckley.
Yeah, you have said it 3 times.
Royal goes to Buckley. Have I said it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I said it.
Terrell said
that's
it.
Where I went to school.
So Mayor's the therapist?
I'm the school counselor there.
And then there's some really cool classes that have just now become mandatory.
Yes.
Which are?
Human development for our freshmen.
Okay.
Which I teach, which I tell the kids there's nothing they can't ask me. There's nothing they can ask me that's going to embarrass me, as long as it's not about me personally. So they come to me with very honest, real questions.
And this is because was Royal the first year? No.
Yes.
Royal was the first. So it's just
the
2 years ago.
The first year that it was No, it was health before, and then they turned it into human development.
Have you seen a difference in the kids that go through that process? I know it's still early. But, like, are the juniors who went through that a little different than the junior before the class was?
I don't know that they're different. I feel that the communication is open. You know, they'll come to me if there's an issue that arises.
Nice.
I think that's one of the most important things is communication. Mm-hmm. And even to go back to what you were saying, how you can support Francis.
Because
mm-hmm. I would think the same as you. Like, you don't want to mention it because you don't want to put them into a bad situation or bad thoughts and memories and things. But at the flip side of it is it's so important to let them know that they have support.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I think it was several shows ago that someone was going through something and they felt they didn't have any support from their friends. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the person that's going through it. It's important for people to know if your friend is going through grief or loss that you reach out and show that you're there for them because they may need you. If not, they feel that they've lost, not only did they lose their loved one, but they've lost the support of a friend.
Right.
So it's important that you reach out and communicate that.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you don't ask about it, then they feel that you don't care or it's mm-hmm. not important to you what they're going through. So, and if they don't want to talk about it, that's okay too. They can say that to you, but at least you've put it out there.
Yeah. It, like for me, when someone loses somebody, it's hard for me to reach out to them. But I'm getting better because I just don't want to bring it up.
You it's know? An uncomfortable thing always. I mean, for me, it's uncomfortable when someone loses a loved one. Mm-hmm. I remember because no matter what anyone says to you, it sort of feels like a platitude, you know, mm-hmm. it'll be okay. Or, you know, he's in a good place now. And I just remember being angry with those right. types of comments.
Right.
Yeah.
As a mother, mm-hmm. what do you fear for your kids?
I mean, I have two girls in Los Angeles. I fear a lot.
Yes. Yes, I do too. But what do you fear? Do you have any fears that, I don't know, what do you fear?
I want them, the most important thing to me is that they become strong, confident, self-assured women mm-hmm. above all else.
Your kids play travel softball?
They do.
When they have a tough loss in a game? I saw a little...
It's hard.
Mary gave a face, like, so sad face.
It's hard because, I mean, I feel their pain. My husband gets very frustrated, you know?
Of course, Lewis.
In sports, you're yeah. not supposed to be crying in the dugout. I think every male coach, if they coach girls softball, they'll tell you, you know, there's no crying in softball. But they're girls, and girls are, you know, they're emotional.
So what do you... So do you quickly put on, like, your therapist hat for the team?
No, I mean, I think that I will let my daughter talk about it and, you know, I'll ask her, do you want to talk about it? And I try to be supportive that mm-hmm. you can't be perfect every time. And if you expect that of yourself, then you're making a mistake.
Well, I think losing builds character, you know?
And absolutely.
It builds the perseverance and strength you're going to need. Not only for you to excel at the sport, but to excel in life. And Terrell Taj and I, we always talk about it. Buckley Sports, at least back in the day.
Okay, they've improved. Come
we've
on.
Improved, yeah. but they
well,
were.
They have to improve. They get worse.
They weren't. We weren't known for our sports program.
We definitely were not.
But it really, it's a different mentality. I think all of us share. We like the underdogs. We never yeah. believe, you know, you're out of anything. There's always a way to win. There's always room for improvement.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Is that Buckley's doing, or is that just...
I think it is Buckley's doing, because I remember with Louie.
He says the same thing, though.
Yeah, because we played at Buckley, and our baseball teams weren't always the greatest. And Louie went to a different school, and he had good teams. And then when we played Sunday League... you know, we were playing with our friends, so not all of them were really good.
Right.
So for us, we had fun, my brothers and I, because we were used to players making errors and striking out.
He doesn't.
Where Louis was coming, I was like, Louis, you gotta know who you're playing with.
No, just no, no.
But after he started coaching, because he coached at Buckley.
He coached baseball there for 12, 13 years.
Yes. And I remember him calling me and just realizing what kind of players he has. And now he had the mentality, like, he got it.
Yeah. I mean, he still hates to lose. He'll still say to me, God, I hate losing. But he's able to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we want our daughters to play teams that are better because we want them to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not going to just chase some trophy just for the sake of that.
Right.
Or have her do that.
Right.
You know.
Yep. So it becomes... Like for us, it became, you know, having that player on our team that's never played baseball. Mm-hmm. So our victory, our win was when he got a base hit. So I would once Louis started coaching at Buckley, it was that thing where, you know, these kids at Buckley are great. You know, they're very smart, and you know, it's just some of them. It's a very small school.
It's a small school, so some of them are not real baseball players or basketball players. We're just trying to.
But they'll crush it in math.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have a question online. When parents, going back to the parents divorcing, mm-hmm. when parents divorce, I think the answer is yes, but is it sometimes that the kids may need therapy? That answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my question, my added question to that is, how do you know when your child may need therapy?
When parents go through a divorce, I would advise them to put the kids in therapy, even if it's just briefly for a few sessions. A lot of times the kids don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and so they're not necessarily honest with mom and dad about what's going on. So having a neutral person where they can, you know, say I'm angry at dad, or, you know, I'm mad at mom.
Without any consequences.
Right. Without having to then feel guilty for saying it, you know, so, or to hear that's normal.
Mm. So you recommend maybe doing at least one session with the child and the therapist.
Yes.
Not a family session.
I mean, I think family sessions are important as well, but for different things.
Okay.
And it also depends on how amicable the divorce was, because sometimes it's so bad that the parents can't even have a conversation.
Mm.
That's a good point. There's a question online about what if domestic violence is involved or abuse.
That's a whole different, story.
What are the kids like at that point? Are they angry, or do they shut down? Like, or it all depends.
It all depends, but they are more likely to be in an abusive relationship as adults if they don't get help.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay.
I have a question. And I don't know if this is like something just that I thought or if it's changed growing up. And I think you mentioned this, TJ, as well. Growing up, when I would ever hear therapy, mm-hmm. I always thought there was something wrong with it.
Right.
I don't know if it's changed because I'm older now and I see that there isn't anything wrong with it, or if it's just people and everyone has learned what it really is. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I still think that kids are resistant to therapy a lot of times because they feel like, well, there's nothing wrong with me, which is absolutely true. But I also think therapy in general has become more socially acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have children, or if you have a friend that you feel needs to go to therapy or should experience therapy, how are ways you can get them to go?
You know, a lot of times I tell parents to, in order to get the buy-in of the kids, you tell them, okay, I'll tell you what, you commit to 3 sessions, and after 3 sessions, if you really don't like it, I'm not going to force you to go. But a lot of times you will connect with them within the 3 sessions and they will stay. I have a client, I've had her for 5 years. The first time I met her, she's like, I hate therapists. I'm not going to talk to you. I have nothing to say. And we have an amazing relationship.
Mm. And I thought it was, I mean, I think it was, I'm not sure exactly why I never cared to go to a therapist, but I think it was also because of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt like, you know, I can't be open or speak freely.
Right.
But all licensed therapists have like a confidentiality.
Absolutely.
Right?
You're bound by.
And I would have to imagine there's definitely people that their first times, you almost have to feel each other out. And I know some people that went to therapy and they were very closed, as you were saying, that they're not going to open up, they're not mm-hmm. going to this. So is there a time, like maybe, I mean, it's different obviously for everyone, but do you start to notice like someone starting to open up? Is there at least go 3 times type of thing?
Yes. One of the things that I truly, truly believe is that the most important part of the therapy is the therapeutic relationship between the client and the therapist, regardless of their theoretical orientation or anything like that. If a kid or an adult or anybody doesn't feel comfortable with their therapist, then there's no point. So I think you know pretty quickly. I mean, I would give it a couple sessions to see if you can develop that rapport. But if right away this is not a person that you feel you connect with, then you go to somebody else and you keep looking until you find that connection.
Question. As a parent, when your child is dealing with any setback, mm-hmm. how do you get them to open up? Or what would you do? Would you let them open up on their time? Would you... How do you maneuver around that situation?
I think that you tell them, if they don't want to talk about it, you tell them, I just want you to know that I'm here. And when you are ready to talk about it, you know, come talk to me.
And that's it? You just leave it there? Or would you revisit it?
I would revisit it.
If they're still showing signs of...
Yeah. And you can say, I'm noticing this and it's concerning to me. You sure you don't want to talk about it?
Mm-hmm. When I lost my mother at 16, I think I was a senior, about to start senior year, maybe junior year.
Were you a young senior? You're right.
So it was junior year.
Not that smart. Stop trying to skip
Sorry,
the grade.
Sorry, sometimes I forget. So I was going into the 11th grade. But I remember there was such a loss. I didn't care much anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about my grades. I didn't care about... You know, and I can only imagine, I never had this conversation with my father or my grandmother, but I can only imagine that was a tough time for them to try to get me back on track and to try to re-inspire me in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
As we've always said, our uncle was really huge on that.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone has an amazing, lucky, you know, a plugged-in uncle like we had.
Right.
So what do you do as a parent or as a good friend or as an uncle or a cousin when you see someone who's dealt with such a setback, such as a loss of a parent?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them back on track?
I mean, I think having them talk to somebody about what's going on. I went through something very similar when my dad died. I could care less about school anymore and about anything. Very self-destructive. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the pain and that's the anger. I was angry. I was angry at him for dying. I was angry at the world because my dad was dead and my friends' dads weren't dead, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also think when someone dies and you're feeling depressed, one of the symptoms of depression is that lack of motivation. So again, dealing with the underlying issue, you have to look at what is this behavior representing? Why are they acting this way? Because there's something going on that's causing them to act this way. What are they trying to communicate?
Seems tough. Is it? I don't know. But okay, next question. You talked about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Teen depression.
Mm.
It seems like
anything teen, huh?
Yeah, it seems like all teens go through some type of, I don't want to say depression because
they don't all.
No, but they seem to go through like a shift.
Back to high school. I mean, was that like the best years of your life?
It actually was.
All right. Well, you're one of the few.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like it seems like kids go through once they hit like 13, 14, maybe 15, they go through this funk.
Yeah.
What is that?
They're confused. They're trying to figure it out. You know, things are changing. Their perspective is changing. Their bodies are changing. Their feelings are changing. And it's not always a smooth change.
Yeah.
Is it comparison as well?
Like,
maybe,
what do you mean? Like comparing
why
them?
Why am I not growing? Why are they tall and I'm short? Just
teenagers do not want to feel different. They don't. So whether it's they perceive themselves as shorter or... You know, for girls, they don't want to be the tallest one or, you know, they can pick apart any little thing. And we know as adults that with time, you become more comfortable in your own skin and that does pass. But it's a really difficult time, especially here in LA when all they're seeing, you know, in the media and everywhere, they're being fed these images of these perfect people.
How do you accelerate that? And accelerate the confidence within themselves. How would you recommend to accelerate?
That's a good question.
Do you?
I think every child is different, and mm-hmm. I think that they'll get there, but the rate is different for everybody.
Mm.
For me, I'm not a licensed therapist, so
you're not.
No, not yet. But I feel like people that stand out, like you look at the people that make a difference in the world, they are different, you know, and that's a thing. I celebrate different, you know, people in that way.
Did you always?
Yeah, I did.
So you would have felt that way in high school as well?
I was different in high school. I wasn't king of school.
King Elephant?
No,
yeah.
No, he wasn't.
I didn't make the All-Stars all the time. I had, I struggled through stuff and I identified with people that were different. I was one of those kids that, I don't want to say the person's name, but that everyone that ragged on this one person in school, I was friends with him.
Does that explain your dreads?
Okay, the person you're talking about,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and then
he got bullied every day. Yes.
And I would always go up to him and say, hey, how are you doing? And
that's
and vintage. But that was the thing, because I knew what that was like. And it's not like I wasn't treated that way, and whatever, but I don't know if I just in hindsight, but the people that you remember, like the people that have really stood out in the world are different. They really are different. They're not like everyone else in a certain way. And so I don't know. I don't want to be normal, because normal is not,
it's
memorable.
Like the, it's like the Apple campaign. They had Think Different.
But I think it's when that person is different, it's not always that they accept that.
And that's the thing. It's embracing who you are, not trying to be somebody else to fit into, whatever your idea of what you should be, but to really embrace who you actually are.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right. So we just accepted another phone call.
Ooh.
Who do we have on the phone?
Yes. Hello. It's Myra.
Hi, Myra. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm calling from the Netherlands, so I'm sorry for my English.
Oh, it's
your
perfect.
English is great.
Perfect.
Yes. I don't hear you so well. You sound very far.
It is very far.
Yeah, we are far away.
You're far away. Yeah, you are far away. Sorry.
What can we help you with?
I have a question. I lost my mother 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm
and,
sorry.
Then I will put my radio off because I hear some
feedback.
Noise in the back.
Feedback.
No, I lost my mother 4 years ago, and at that moment I struggle a lot because my father was so, I said it, lost, and he wanted to crash his car against a tree. So I was only working with my father to get him well, and my son was having problems, so I forgot myself.
Right, right.
And now I notice that I'm 4 years later, I'm struggling, but still my father's struggling and my son is struggling, so I don't know how I have to deal with it.
You need to put yourself first now. You've pushed your feelings down for 4 years, and now it's your turn to deal with them. And hopefully, as you heal, they will heal as well.
Yes. Mm. Yes, because, like I said, it's so difficult to... you're going on and on and on and on, and at the end, you feel tired and depressed. Mm-hmm. And, because you forget about yourself. I put myself on a second place.
Right. And how can you help your father and your son if you're not healthy?
Yeah, I know, but it's very difficult to, I don't know.
Right.
Myra, am I saying it correct?
Yes.
Myra, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for sharing it. And I'm like you. I like to try to help others and always think you can be helped last. And I'm learning that you have to take care of yourself and be the best you can so that you can help them as best as you can.
Thank you so much for the phone call
and take care of yourself.
And thank you.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Be safe.
From there.
Yeah.
Do you have to deal with it? Do you have to deal with it? What happens if you don't want to deal with it? And you go the rest of your life, I'm just not going to deal with it.
It's going to come out somewhere.
So you just live the rest of your life pretty much unhappy or bothered.
Yeah, or you'll have some sort of explosion later down the road, which is because you stuffed those feelings.
So do you have to face it and just go through that storm? Or is it one of those things where slowly but surely you'll get better and it'll just
I think that some people want to face it immediately and some people aren't ready to. And I think that's okay as well. I mean, who are we to tell someone else how they grieve, as long as you do grieve? Mm-hmm. But I understand needing some time, or, you know, like the last caller having to deal with, you know, her father being suicidal. Obviously, that was immediate and she needed to deal with that before herself. But it's still, you know, she's saying, I'm feeling depressed now. And so it's catching up to her.
Because I don't want to, I hope you're okay with it, but I want to talk about you, Tosh.
No, that's fine.
putting you on the spot. But I know you pushed down your feelings and you didn't really
deal with definitely.
It because of you had to be big brother.
And that is what I'm always worried about. When is it going to be the time where it just explodes? Because I did have to be the rock in a way, you know. And I don't know. I feel like my emotions aren't, you know, completely there anymore mm-hmm. for certain things. I'm kind of hardened in certain ways. Mm-hmm. But so I do worry about that, and, you know, and whatever. But I also try and overcompensate with being happy, you know, and bringing happiness into my life to counter that.
Sometimes being the rock is modeling for people that it's okay to cry. It's okay to show emotion. That doesn't mean you're not strong.
Yeah.
See, but I think society kind of doesn't say that. And that's the rub. That's the problem. It's like the strong one is the one who doesn't cry, you know, or who doesn't show any pain, or who can tough it out.
But it's actually braver and harder and more scary to show that pain and be vulnerable.
I agree.
It's tricky because I had a question a while ago and it's kind of coming back up. My thing was routine. Being the rock also meant, you know, there was a lot of responsibilities as older brother you had to do. Fill out this, do this, do that. You were constantly busy. Mm-hmm. So that was a distraction. And my question was back when we were talking about school is routine. You know, every situation is different, once again. But when do you jump back into the routine? Is routine good? Does it help?
I think routine does help, absolutely. I think it helps return to normalcy to some point. I mean, you still have to deal with those feelings, but I think routine is always good.
Because it helps them know that everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
And unfortunately, life does go on, and you'll see your friends. And
yes, is it and that and sometimes or? Getting into back into your normal routine is what you need in order to help you grieve.
So how do you find that line? I mean, I'll just say, let's say a kid loses somebody, and they're in school, they're a student, mm-hmm. and obviously they're going to miss a few days of school. Or
of course,
when's that time period? How do you know when it's time to get back on and continue?
I mean, I think a lot of times we'll say to the family, like, why don't you try coming back to school? You don't even have to go to class. Let's start with you just being on campus, being around your friends, and, you know, baby steps from there. Maybe you do a half a day and then you do a full day. I mean, I think 1 week, maybe even two, but you want to get them back into their normal routine. You're not saying that you haven't gone through something or you're not... You're still acknowledging their pain, but I think it's healthy to get them back in the normal routine. Right. A lot of them actually want the routine because it's so sad at home. They think it's easier to come back to school and at least have normalcy there. When they go back to home, they'll deal with what's going on there. But at school, it's like a vacation.
Around their friends and joking around a bit.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, wow.
But I want to thank you, Mara.
Thank you for having me.
You miss Mara Tapia. why you guys laugh? Because it's Lewis, right?
Yeah,
Lewis.
Please, if you are in the area, or even Skype, you need to start taking Skype appointments. I'm trying to get Mara to branch out more, because I think she's amazing.
Thank you.
Her phone number again for crane calling, whatever you need. Really serious phone calls only, please. Is 310-804-6220. Again, it's 310-804-6220. An adolescent, adult, and family psychotherapy.
Yes.
right? Psychotherapist.
Yes.
Miss Mara Tapia, thanks again for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Again, we are the Power of Love radio show, and we can, I'm not going to go through all the social handles, but our website is www.ddjf.org. We are here Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to DDJF and support the foundation with a donation. And if you can't do a donation, just help us spread the word. We're trying to bring hope and inspiration to everyone around the world. And that is it for Taj Chell TJ and Miss Mara Tapia. Have a safe and happy holidays.
Later, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.